This is a catching up shir. Simon Tofresh Yutes Sif Aleph. Seder Leil Yom HaKippurim. We'll be discussing the halachos of the first night of Yom Kippur called the Kol Nidre night. Sif Aleph Leil Yom HaKippurim. The night of Yom HaKippurim. No, again, the custom is Sha'omrim Sha'omer Shliach Tzibur. The Chazan says, B'yeshiva Shel Malo, V'yeshiva Shel Mato, Al Da'as HaMokoyim, V'al Da'as HaKol, Onu matirim leispalelim avaryonim. What is all that about? The Mishneh Berurah in Sefkot Nov Aleph explains the following: that although normally we are makpid and we don't allow people who are mechalalei mitzvahs to be joining us for a minyan, they don't count as a minyan. They're always more than welcome, but they don't count as a minyan. Over here, we do it. We allow everybody. That's what anumatirim leispal means. We allow everybody. We allow everybody to join us, and we are, as Mishneh Berurah explains. I'm reading the last three lines of Sefer Katan Aleph. Kedei shenuchal leispal el imam. The Kol Tanas Tzibur She'ein Boi Mipoyshe Yisrael Ein Oitainis. And then he explains in Sifkotn Dalet in Sharetzi, and he says the following: Bol Ramais, this tells us over here She'ein Lonu Lehokel B'Reshoim Poyshe Yisrael. The people who are Poyshe Yisrael, who don't keep any mitzvah, Shloi Bichlal Tanisenu Tfilosenu, we want them to be part of our tefillas and our tainus. V'anu kishem shema misalu miskadesh, that the name of Hashem gets increased and gets there's a gewaltige kiddush Hashem b'shor at the time sh'rishoyim choizrim b'tshuva, that the rishoyim do proper tshuva v'roitzim leis aged v'leis nagi k'mas atzikim, they join the tzaddikim and they merge with the rest of the community. That is a gewaltige kiddush Hashem. So this is what we are allowing everybody to join. Even the avaryonim are joined and are invited to join us, and we they count for the minyan. V'noyagin continues the Shulchan Aruch. V'noyagin she'omer kol nidrei. The custom is to say kol nidrei. And after that we say Shechionu without a Becha. The Mishneh Berurah explains, adds a couple of points of it with regards to Kol Nidrei. Sifkotn Beis, Noyagin Shoyma Kol Nidrei. Hinei, Minin Kadmoinim, it's an ancient minig, Hoyloima B'Yom HaKippurim Sha'ova Ad Yom HaKippurim Hazeh. The earlier wording of Kol Nidrei was from Yom Kippurim Sha'ova, from the previous Yom Kippur until this current Yom Kippur. Voisa Kavon El Hatir Nedorim, V'Shvus. And initially the idea was to be matir neder. We know there's a concept of Torah's nadorim, of allowing and cancelling and nullification of nadorim, of vows and oaths. Shekvar nodru, that were done already, the neder was done already. V'nishbu pen ova echad aleihem, it was as a Torah's nadorim. Rabbeinu Tam hikshalzin. Rabbeinu Tam asked various questions that primarily that you can't be matir neder in such a way. Collective Torah's nadorim wouldn't work. It needs to be individual. It needs to be in front of a chacham. There's various conditions which had to be matir neder, which don't seem to apply with our regular kol nidrei. V'lochen, and therefore, these are all the questions of Rabbeinu Tam. ולכן, therefore, I'm continuing Mishneh Berurah, הגיע שיש להם מיום כיפורים זה עד יום הכיפורים הבא. He used to say that the correct wording of Yom Kippur should be not from the last Yom Kippur until this current Yom Kippur. No, because that would imply that it can be matinator, and this doesn't really work as a Torah Sedorim, wouldn't work as Rabbeinu Tam points out. So therefore, the way it works is we say from Yom Kippurim Hazeh ad Yom HaKippurim Habo Leinu. So it's not a Torah Sedorim on something which has been already, but Hakavona explains the Mishneh Berurah lehasnus al nedorim sheyidur mikan lehabor shel yochulu. It's what we call a mesiras moida, that I'm making a statement over here that whatever may be a neder throughout the next year, I don't want it to be working as a neder. I don't want it to be chal. I don't want it to be a proper neder. I'm canceling it now from now until the next year. I want this to be cancelled, and the neder that I may make by mistake, I don't is to be working at all. And this is called a mesiras moida, a statement which is regard to the future. So it's not a hatoras nedorim, because as Rabbeinu Tam points out, it wouldn't work. HaTorah's Nedarim doesn't work. So what it is it's a Mesiris Medor for the future. The question that Reb Shlomo Zalman asked and all of this, can you rely on that? So if you did make a Neder during the year, could you rely on this Kol Nidre that the Neder wasn't Chal at all, that the Neder is not functioning at all? Can you rely on it? And the answer, it's not so sure. Reb Shlomo Zalman is not so sure about it. And he said, L'chatchil, you shouldn't rely on it. And one should try to still do proper Atos Nedarim. If you did make a Neder by mistake, you should still do a proper Atos Nedarim with the Chacham. Continues the Ramah on top of page one. I want to continue still with the final point of the Shulchan Aruch here, which is that we make Shechiyonu b'loy kois. So with regards to Shechiyonu, yes, we make Shechiyonu. It's Sifkot and Gimel Mishnebura says Gam Atzibu Yoyimu Kol Echot B'Lachash. Not only the Shliach Tzibu, the Chazan says Shechiyonu, but also every individual. We all say Shechiyonu without a kois. And Mishnebura adds V'Tov Shemaru Leisayim Abroche Shemavach La'atzmo. You should try to make the bracha quicker than the chazan. Kedesh yisayim ashliach tzibur. So when the chazan finishes the bracha, you're omen, you can still say omen. If you finish simultaneously with the chazan, you can't say omen because you can't say omen to your own bracha. But if you finish your bracha a little bit quicker than him, you can't say bracha. You can't say omen onto his bracha. Nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah points out, mikol mokim. Nevertheless, yesh liashliach tzibur leizoyer. The shliach tzibur should be careful. She chavn should have intention. Lo yitzia tzibur to be moitzi the entire shul. Me mehem sheir tzelotzi bivuchosoi. Whoever wants to be yotzi with the shliach tzibur's bracha, he can be moitzi them. That's fine as well. Now, with regards to the b'loy kois, how does that work? If Cotton Dalit explains as follows, b'loy kois the kivin shemavoch shechiyonu, like every yom tov you make a shechiyonu. We make on every yom tov we make shechiyonu, so on Yom Kippur as well. But we make it without wine. We make it without becha, without wine. So he says b'loy kois kivin shemavoch shechiyonu. Afilu im adayin mibodyoim, you can say Shechiyonu, even if it's not Yom Kippur yet, it's still quite early, it's before Nacht. Kibel le'alei k'tushas yom, yema kippurin v'osele mishti. You have been accepting the Yom Tov, v'osele mishti, you're not allowed to drink. Now the question is over here, why? Okay, so we're not drinking, but why don't you give it to a child? We know children don't fast on Yom Kippur, so why can't you give the wine to a child? Make the bracha with wine, like on every other regular Yom Tov, and give the wine to a child. So the Mishnah Berurah explains the following: v'nesiv letinuk, if you were to give the wine to a child, osile misach lishtes b'makipurim afiluk sheyeg lishnas yud gemel. Then, although it's a rare occurrence, but after all, it's every year. So therefore, he's going to remember when he's going to be an adult, he's going to remember, you know, I used to drink wine in shul on Yom Kippur. And that's going to lead him to chas v'shalom in future years as well to drink wine on Yom Kippur. He might make a mistake. So we don't want to lead to any mistakes and any mishaps in future years. Therefore, we don't give wine with a shechiyonu to children, even if they don't fast. So we never do that. We never, because of this potential mishap that may happen in future years when he grows up. It's something he will remember. He'll remember as a child that he remembered that as a child he drank wine in shul with the Shechiyonu. And that's we don't want that to be in a child's mind, in his memory. Mishnah Berurah continues, Yisatev betalas miboid yoim, kedelevach. A person should put on the talas, but he should put on the talas before shkia. By day, kedelevach, in order to make a bracha. Because on by night you won't be able to make a bracha on the talas. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Yeah. Before we continue with the Ramah, I just want to point out we had the Sharet Shuva over here towards the end of Sifkotan Base. I believe it's Sifkotan Base. Yeah. He says that with regards to the Nusach of Kol Nidre, just going back very quickly to the point of Kol Nidre, we pointed out that the Nusach is that it's from this year until next year, as opposed to last year until this year. The Sharet Shuva goes into that discussion, and he said over here that Ein Leshanes Menusach Nitfas Memugul Befikoil. I think that's an important rule that he says over here, that you should never change from the Nusach that is printed and that is common. So if you feel that something would be more accurate in a different way, don't necessarily change it. Now it's true that some machzorim are more accurate than others, that's true, and some machzorim actually do have quite a lot of mistakes. There's one machzor in particular which I'm aware of that has really, really plenty of mistakes. But on the whole, you should don't make up your own things. I mean, if you think that it's a mistake, then it's checked with other machzorim. But don't just make up your own things. if you feel that something is not quite accurate and something makes sense another way. That's what he says over Yeshayahu Tshuva. Ein lo lishanes menusach hamutfes. Don't change from the printed versions of the tefillah. Okay, continues the Ramah. Ve'achekach, top line of page 16. To ve'achekach, mispal aves after kol nidre, we daven ma'ariv. Ve'noeg loyma kol nidre, mi'boid ha'yoyim. We say kol nidre when it's still daylight. U'mamshech b'nigunim ad ha'layin, and afterwards we carry on with nigunim until nacht. It doesn't say exactly which nigunim it is. I'm not quite sure which nigunim is referring to, but there's some tunes, maybe some tefillahs, which continue all the way till nacht. We say kol nidre three times. Kol pam akbia kol yoisa. Every time you increase his voice more mebrishonet than the earlier time. Vechein oimrim shliach tzibur vechein oimrim shliach tzibur shalosh po'omim, and the shliach tzibur says after three times v'nislach lechol adas Yisrael. He says that posuk v'akol oimrim shalosh po'omim v'yomer Hashem solachti kidvorecho, and after the shul after it says, the oilim after it says v'yomer Hashem solachti kidvorecho. And then he says a fascinating point which cannot be overemphasized. Al yishane odom minig ha'ir, a person should not change from the custom of the city, afilu benigun, even with regards to tunes, nigunim oibe piyutim shoimrim shamu piyutim that are said in a certain place, do not change. So crucial that minogim are precious, minogim are incredibly important, and don't change the minhagim, the masoros, the traditions of a certain place, even if they appear to be against halacha. Double check, and find out, because many, especially when it comes to yom neroim, yom tovim, the minhagim are extremely precious and extremely valuable, and we don't just change minhagim. So much so that Ramah says over here, afilu benigun, even in the tunes. If you like, if somebody's a chazan and he has a new idea for a new tune, don't change a tune. Don't change a tune. Even a tune is not to be changed. The reason for tune, the Mishnah Berurah 7 Sifkoten Zayin, afilu benigunim akialidei zemer valbel das akol. If you're changing the nigunim, people get confused and you're disturbing them from their kavana. So they like to have the nigunim, the tunes that they've been davening with for years, and that's what helps people to daven with kavana. I think that the Maril says, I haven't checked it up this time round, but I remember that the Maril, If I'm not mistaken, the Maril from the Rishonim that the Ramo even quotes, from the Rishonim, from the very Choshev Rishonim, and I seem to remember the Maril says that there was one Chazan who changed the Nusach of a excuse me, the Nigan of a certain Tefillah Yom Neroim. He changed it. He was a chazan, and he enjoyed it. He wanted to change the tune. Veloy Ovar Shnosa, I think it says there. Now he didn't finish his year. He was nifted before next year because he changed the nusach. One is not allowed to change the nusach of even a nigan. That's the incredible importance of the minhagim, the mesoris, the traditions, the minhagim of every keila. Siv Beis says the following: Beleiyom Akipurim Mochrosoi, on the night of Yom Kippur, and throughout the Yom Kippur day, Omrim, we say Boruch Shem Kvod Machusoi Leolam Vaed. Bekol Rom, we say, as we all know, Boruch Shem Kvod Machusoi Leolam Vaed, with a loud voice, and we don't whisper it like the rest of the year. Siv Kotn Ches explains the reason: the Shiras Malachim, because this is the song of the Malachim of Yom Akipurim. Gam Israel doim le melachim, and Yom Kippur Yidden also resemble melachim, angels. So since we are like angels, we say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusoi loud, because angels, that's what they sing. The question is with regards to women. What about women? Do they also say it loud or not? And I believe that the custom is that ladies do not. But it has to be double checked with our rabbits. But I believe it sounds like from the poskim that the minhag from the women is not to say Baruch Shem loud. Seif Gimel. Im cholim akipurim machusoi. Im chol. Seif Gimel. Imchal b'Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, Omrim v'yechulu, we say v'yechulu, uvrocha achz me'in sheva, and we say me'in sheva, v'choyse mekadesh Shabbos, ve'einu maskir Yom HaKippurim, we don't mention Yom HaKippurim at all. Ve'ein Omrim avinu malkeinu b'Shabbos, we don't mention avinu malkeinu on Shabbos. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. Aval Shas Slichas V'Tchinos Omrim B'Kmoy B'Chol. But all the other remaining Slichas and Tchinos we say on a regular weekday. Avinu Malkeinu is not said because Bakosha's specific demands from Hashem is inappropriate on Shabbos. We don't do that on Shabbos at all. But all the other Slichas and Tchinos we do. Seif Dalet. Etzorich Lehamid Echod Liemin
Shliach tzibur ve'echol ismoiloi. A person stands on the right side of the chazan and one on the left side. Sifkot Yud Beis in Mishneh Berurah explains. Like Moshe Rabbeinu had on Aaron v'Chur tamchu b'yadav, we find in the pasuk that Aaron and Chur, his son, was standing on his right and on his left. So similar to that. We do it with Chazan on Yom Kippur as well. Sifei yesh oimdim al regleim kol hayom v'kol halayla. Some have the minhag that they stand the entire day and the entire night, and they don't sit down. The reason for that is explained in Sifkot Nud Gimel in Mishneh Berurah. Hainu b'shas tefillah b'layla, we're talking about not the entire night, but it's referring specifically to the tefillah. During davening, people don't stand and people don't sit. De'im lo yikein lo yuchlu lispalel b'yoyim, but it must be talking about that, because if you're talking about literally the whole night, then it won't be impossible to daven the next day. Ki yisnamnenu, because they'll fall asleep. What's the reason for that? V'tama amina, the reason for the standing minhag is lios dugmas melochim, like melochim. Melochim can't don't have their legs. It makes it impossible. They can't sit, so they can only stand. So we resemble melochim and we don't sit on Yom Kippur as well. V'noshim lo yamdu, and this only applies to men and not to ladies. And ladies will be able to sit down. He continues and said that leaning is appropriate. And the truth is that memories from very old people, Mamash Moshe Nefesh, who literally with their great self-sacrifice would be not only fasting and do all the inuyim on Yom Kippur, they actually be physically, as long as they could bear, they would stand the entire Yom Kippur. So as much as possible. Some have the minhag to sleep in shul, to sleep the night of Yom Kippur in shul, and they say shiros v'tishbochos, praises to Hashem, kol halaylo, the entire night. The Mishneh Berurah brings from the Levush over here, in Sifkot Nudalet, lonu beveis haknesses, velevush kosav, mutav leilech lishon beveis soy. He said it's better to go home and to sleep at home, ki mishenu belaylo, because somebody who is up the night, yoshen beyoim, is going to sleep by day. Ve'yeinu oime bekavona, ve'yeinu, he's not going to die with great kavona. So he doesn't. Levush is not so keen on that minhag of sleeping in shul. The idea was really so it understands. So it seems from the poskim that people who would just stay up the whole night with the shiros v'tishbachos, then it would sleep a little bit in the middle. That would be okay. But if we don't intend to say shiros v'tishbachos, person who doesn't intend to stay up the night to praise Hashem and say Tehillim, etc., person doesn't have that intention, then he should really rather go home. If a person does stay up the night to say shiras v'tishbachos and he's going to have a little nap in the middle, the Rama says v'toyv lishon rochik min ha'oroin, it's better that he doesn't sleep right next. If he does have a little sleep, he shouldn't be sleeping right next to the Oron HaKodesh. He should distance himself to the other side of the shul. So if continues the Rama, top line of page of the next page, mishen yiroi tzeloi matishbachos v'shiras belayla, somebody who doesn't, as we just explained, somebody who doesn't want to say the praises and the songs to Hashem in the night, lo yishon sham, shouldn't sleep in shul at all. And the chazonim would daven the entire day, would daven during the day. Lo ye'eru kol ha'layla, they shouldn't be up in the night. Ki ma'ab din kolim, because they lose their voice. K'she'enem yishenim, if they're not sleeping. There's a very important Mishneh Berurah in Sefkot Tezayin. He says, the last two lines of the siman, he says, ve'en le'talmid chochem la'asuk b'toira. So somebody who is a Talmud Chochem and his time is very precious because he's learning a lot of Torah during the day, he should not, because of that, say to himself, I'm not going to say all the slichas, I'm not going to say all the tefillos, I'd rather take a sefer and learn a little bit whilst people are davening. That's not right. The Mishneh Berurah says explicitly, a Talmud Chochem should not learn. There's a right time for learning, there's a right time for davening, and when everybody else is davening, you should be davening as well. The tefillos and slichos are crucial, they're essential, that's the right thing that you should do during Yom Kippur, and therefore, even if you're not learning so much on that day, that's still the right thing to do.
Very important Mishneh Berurah.
Simon Tov Reish Chaf. Simon Tov Reish Chaf. Minhag Yofe LeKatzer B'Tefilah Shachris. The minhag of saying of being mekatzer, making it short, the tefillah of Shacharis. Seif Aleph, which is the only seif here, Toiv lekatzer bepiyutim v'slichas Shacharis k'de lemah. It is right, it is proper to shorten the piyutim and the slichos during Shacharis in order to hurry up a little bit. Be'inyon, in order sheispal el musaf, that the people should have musaf koydim shavashos before the seventh halachic hour. The Mishneh Berurah explains in Sifkot and Beis that everybody needs to say 10 viduyim on Yom Kippur at the very least. Four during the four tefillos, v'arba b'chazor shashatz, and four during the chazor shashatz, v'shtei pa'omim echad b'mincha v'echad b'mariv, and then one again b'mincha, one again v'mariv, again the 10 times connected eser pa'omim shekoyin gadol maskir shem Hashem b'yom kippurim. This is against the 10 times that we say vidui, is against the 10 times that the Kohen Gadol would mention the Shem, the proper Hashem's proper name on Yom Kippur. What about ladies? Do women also need to say 10 times the viduyim? Good question. Both Reb Chaim Kanievsky and Rav Eliashiv say that the minhag is that women don't necessarily say 10 times. She doesn't have to actually say 10 times. Simon Tov Reish Chof Aleph, say the Kriyas HaTorah v'mila b'Yom Kippur. Moisin Shnei Sforim, we take out two Sifre Torah. Berishon Korin Shisha b'Shisha. The first Sifre Torah, we call up six people. B'Parshas Achemois. In the Pashva Achimos, Ad Vayas Kasha Tziva Hashem, until the words of Vayas Kasha Tziva Hashem. Veim Chol B'Shabbos, and it falls on Shabbos. It falls on Shabbos. Kerim Shiva, we call up seven people. Umaftir, Kerim B'Shein B'Pinchas, and the Maftir is V'Asol HaChodesh, Umaftir B'Yeshaya, and the Maftir is Yeshaya, V'Omo Soilu Soilu Panu Derech, Ad Kipi Hashem Diber. The Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Base brings from Isaiah that somebody who cries or is upset about the death of the sons of Aaron and is even able to shed tears over it, all his sins are nimchal. Hashem is moichel all the avirus of a person. And his children will not die during his parents' lifetime. And the main point is, says the Mishneh Berurah, it should all lead to a person not doing averos. If such holy people like the sons of Aaron were punished so severely, what should we do? Azu ve'akir, we were nothing compared to them, and that should definitely bring us to do a bit of tshuva. Save base. Mila b'yom kippur, if there's a mila on Yom Kippur, molin ben yoytzal le'musaf, we make the mila between shachris and musaf, achir kriyas ha'torah, after kriyas ha'torah, v'lachar mila yom ha'ashrei, after the mila we say ashrei, v'aminig lo mula achir ashrei. The mumar says the minig is to say first ashrei and then to do the bris milah. Ve'im hu b'mokam shetzorich lotzeis mibes haknesses ein morin achir chazor sefer Torah. If it's if the tzibur has to go out of shul, in other words, as the Mishneh Berurah explains that in Sifkot and Ches, in a place where there is no Eruv, and the baby has to be brought, it cannot be brought to shul. So what happens is that people are going to the baby, because the baby cannot be brought to shul. So you've got people going to the bris milah into the baby's house. So if that's the case, then we don't mal immediately after shachris. But what happens is, we first return the sefer Torah to the Aaron, and only then we do the bris milah. Then we return from Kaddish and say Kaddish. So over here, the truth is, in between the lines, there's a very important concept over here. So what we're saying is that normally you'd make the Bris Mila whilst the Sifrei Torah are still out, and that's when we make the Bris Mila. However, if it's impossible to do Bris Mila in Shul, we first bring the Sifrei Torah back to the Aron HaKodesh, and then everybody goes out of Shul, and we make the Bris Mila is being done in the baby's house. Why is that so? So
over here, in between the lines, what is really written over here is a very important concept, that you don't leave the Sefer Torah unattended in shul when it's outside the Oren. You don't just leave the Sefer Torah on the bima and everybody goes out. And that's the concept over here. Therefore, if everybody goes, then you put the Sefer Torah into the Oren. That's the reason. That's what's happening. What's the rule over here? However, what happens if not everybody's going to the Bismillah? If there's 10 people staying behind, what's going to be the halacha then? Do you still put back the Sefer Torah? The answer is no. If there's 10 people staying behind, then you don't bring back the Sefer Torah, and you can keep it there. And when the people are back from the Bismillah, only then you'll return the Sefer Torah back to the Oren. This rule, this halacha, is actually important with regards to Rosh Hashanah as well. We know that if Rosh Hashanah, really the shofar is blown, and the Sefer Torah should still be around. But if there's nobody left in shul, then you're because everybody's by making kiddush, then you're running into serious trouble over here. It's a question about what should be done then. And the truth is, I can't really leave the Sefer Torah unattended if everybody's going for kiddush. If there is people behind, you can. You can. But if there's nobody around, if there's not people are not in shul, you have to return the Sefer Torah back to the Oren HaKodesh. And this is written again to Rosh Hashanah. Right, just a little point. Why is it that we do the shachis before? Because it's Todi B'Shein or Todi Koidem. Okay. Now, Siv Gimel Mavochin Al Amila B'Loi Kois, you make a brocha on the Mila without wine. Because who's going to drink it? The second opinion is that no, you do make a bracha on the wine. And you give a tiny bit to the baby who is being mulled. That's really interesting that you give a little bit of wine to the baby. Although undoubtedly, this is a tiny, tiny amount. How much wine can you give to a tiny little baby? And normally you'd have to give much more than that. But over here, it's different. Normally you'd have to give him a loy lugmav or share like that in order to be yotze the bracha, but over here you can't. So over here it's different. Over here it's like an exception. As the poskim explain, it's an exception to the rule, and you'd only give a tiny bit of amount and you're yotze with that. And the Mishnah Berurah does say, if the mother is around, and she's anyway not fasting, because she can't, she just gave birth and she can't fast, then of course you can give to the mother of the baby the wine, and she can drink it. That would be ideal. That's what Mishnah Berurah Sif Kotnu Beis explains. Sif continues the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet. B'Musaf Oyem Shliach Tzibur Seder Avoida. B'Musaf, during Musaf, the Chazan says the Avoida of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash. V'Nuagin Lipa L'Pnim Shem V'Akhenim V'Ha'om. And the minhag is to fall on the floor, to go on the floor when we say V'Akhenim V'Ha'om. Gam Be'Olenu L'Shabach, and also during Olenu L'Shabach, we also go down. Aval Shliach Tzibur also Lakum Koimoy. However, the Shliach Tzibur, the Chazan, is not allowed to uproot from his place, to get off his place, B'Shas HaTfilah, during the Tfilah. K'day Lipa L'Apanov, in order to go down. V'Yashlim Chos Be'ad Oisim Kein. One has to protest against people who do so. Mishnah Berurah here does say, it goes into the topic of going on all four on the floor. Mishnah Berurah here is expensive. Got new dalat lipo apneim ein simon koflu lamet aleph. The yeshli shatei chasov malaritz. You have to put some leaves, some grass on the floor. Mishum, because the also lishtoyach apov alaritzpo. A person is not allowed to put his face on the ground. So he should put a talus, a garment, between him and the floor. Now, contrary to popular understanding, the main area that has to be covered on the floor is not the legs and the arms, but is a person's face. That is the main area that needs to be covered. You mustn't have the face on the floor. So you have to make sure that the area underneath your face is covered with something. That's really very important to remember. What about if there is a carpet? What if it's a carpeted shul, like many shuls in England? The answer to that is that, on the whole, if it's a carpet that is constantly there, the meaning is to be machmir and to disregard the fact that it's a carpet. Although really the issa is with regards to stoned floors, but nevertheless the meaning is to be machmir as well when it's a carpet. If the carpet is taken off on some occasions for cleaning, or if the carpet is occasionally taken off, then one doesn't have to be so machbit. Say Seder Avidui. Seder HaVidui, the Seder of the Vidui is, the order of the Vidui is Chotosi Avisi Pashati. We say Chotosi Avisi Pashati. Mishneh Berurah explains Chet is Shoigeg, Avoin is Meizid, is purposely, Pesha is Mered, and Pesha is even more, is rebellion. But Zoychleim Ra'akal Tchilein, we always start with saying the worst at the end. So you're starting with a shogeg, which is a chet, which is not so bad. It increases by oven, which is mazid, and it eventually leads to pesha, which is the worst. Seivav, noa golido, yotztokas b'yom ha-kippurim b'adameisim. That's what we call yiskor. We say, we give nadorim on Yom Kippur for in favor of for the meisim, for the people who are deceased already. You maskirim anish meisim, and we mention the neshames, the meisim, gam kenishlim kapor b'yom ha-kippurim, because the meisim also have a kapor on Yom Kippur, which is a very, very interesting concept, that the meisim also can have a kapor on Yom Kippur. How does that work? How can a meis have a kapor on Yom Kippur? How does that work? So first of all, Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Minches explains Hameisim Lachen Nikra Yom HaKippurim. Why is Yom HaKippurim Loshen Rabbim in plural? Yom HaKippurim should really be called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But it says Loshen Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonements. Why is that? Loshen Rabbim Rotz Loima, he brings from Mariu, he brings because L'chaim V'lameisim, because it's plural for the people who are still alive, and the people who are nift already, people who are deceased as well, they have a kapora. And that's what why it's called Yom HaKippurim. But how does that work? So he says over here, T'ameisim gam ken elim kapora, T'ameisim gam ken yesh lem kapora Yom HaKippurim. Mishneh Berurah explains, K'she noyedin ba'avuron, when if a person makes a neder in for them, it's as if he would be alive, he would have given stock as well. So it's as if we're saying, if I'm understanding this correctly, that somebody explained it to me, that it's as if that if he would have been alive, he would have done the mitzvah. So the fact that he's not alive, so if I'm doing it on his behalf, it counts as if he would have done it. It's an interesting concept, because generally a person can't do mitzvahs on somebody else's behalf. I can't ask somebody to do a mitzvah. I can't ask somebody to daven for me. I can't ask somebody to put on tefillin for me. I can't ask somebody to give tzedakah for me even. Right? It's either his money or it's my money. If it's my money, it's my mitzvah. If it's his money, it's his mitzvah. There's no such concept of fulfilling a mitzvah on somebody else's behalf. It doesn't work. It doesn't exist. With rare occasions, with rare exceptions. So over here as well, how does that work exactly? So the way I understand is that that if we give on their behalf, it doesn't really mean on their behalf. It just means that ilu ha'yechai, if they've been alive, would also have given tzedakah. And to a certain extent, that counts as well. I'm not sure if it may have to do as well with the fact that since I'm related to the niftah, so I'm doing it as a continuation of his actions. The fact that I'm giving tzedakah now, it's because that's what he taught me how to do it. That's how I saw at home. That's what this nifter showed me how to do. That's what I'm carrying on in his tradition. Therefore, the schus goes back to him. I'm not sure that might be an element of that as well. With regards to the minhag of people going out of shul who don't need to say yiskor, where does that come from? So there's two main understandings for that. One main understanding is because we are concerned that a person may say it with them by mistake. And there's a concept of bris kusur as fasaim. There's a bris a bris kusur as fasaim. If a person says something, it's something like that, it may lead to something not very good. So the meaning is that everybody's getting out of shul, because if a person would stay within the shul by mistake, and by mistake say it, it would be a very bad simon. It might end up in a very bad way. So therefore, in order to make sure everybody goes out, so in order to avoid such a mistake. Another reason which is quoted as well, is that a person against Ein Hara. Against Ein Hara, if a person sees people who are saying Yisko, sitting next to your neighbor in shul, and he's not saying Yisko, and you're looking, he's got a white beard already, he's much older than me, and he's not saying Yisko, that could cause Ein Hara as well. That's an additional understanding which is brought down. Just to add up one final point as well, is what's the halacha with regards to Bechidus? If a person is on his own, he's not with a minion, can he say Yisko, yes or no? Yes or no? And the halacha is that the Maaseh doesn't need a minion. A person can say Yisko Bechidus as well.